legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, FreshBooks, and our newest sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the Squatty Potty 5-Hour Energy Storefront Studios. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-855-662-4743. That's 1-855-ON-AIR-HF.
Now that portion of the show, where we go,
hey, North America,
what does it sound like? Good morning and welcome to another episode of What's Our Radio Show Sound Like? The radio show that is dedicated to trying to figure out how our audio sound is.
You know, there's a certain charm to this process.
Is there?
But it has a time limit. It has a best before. And I think if it extends beyond this week, what's today, Wednesday? If it extends beyond today or maybe tomorrow, it'll be, you know, enough.
Yeah, I think so.
But that's fine.
I like the way you put that, though.
We don't have a team of engineers to converge on this like we're a big company. What do you want?
No, I just like the way... can you throw that light on? Okay, good. Is that okay for today? Just to put a little light on things here?
Why? Well, I don't care, but I'm just wondering why.
Well, because I can't really see anything. Okay. I got all these papers in front of me, and because I've taken the light and I've moved the light... So that I can see the thing that we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. We're good. We're good to go, Howard. We're good to go.
Welcome, everyone. This is the show where we basically take the temperature of North America and we ask you, how do we sound today?
Hey, how do we sound? Hey, how do we sound?
Hey, how do we sound?
I'll tell you, can sing his absolute ass off is that Phil Hong.
I'll tell you, you know, and this isn't very professional because I don't know her name, but there's a little Asian girl. Can I say Asian? Does it matter that
she's
Asian?
Let me ask you a question. Is she Asian?
She's Asian.
Is she a woman?
But yes.
Is she little?
I would say almost a teenager.
Teenager of the Asian persuasion.
But some might argue, why do you have... Here's the story. She sings the anthems before the Leaf games now. Not every game, but I've seen her a few times now. And she has the voice of an angel. Really, she does a fabulous job. And she was there again last night. You know when you hear anthems sometimes and it gives you a little goosebumps a bit?
Oh, yeah,
you know,
the vibrato that's causing it.
And she does it just as well for the Canadian anthem. And you know what she does too in Toronto? She doesn't sing the French words. She sings it all in English. Which I think is fine. I was under the impression if you didn't do that, don't you get pressure? Don't you get criticized? Aren't you accused of being a racist or something if you don't use... Anyway, but she doesn't, which is fine. It's in Toronto. And she does a beautiful, beautiful job. As I say, the voice of an angel. Now, some might argue, I don't have to say she's Asian. She's just a young girl with a great voice. So why did I say Asian? Why did I do that?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what's the point of your story. She sings like an angel.
You were saying, you know, who has beautiful voices.
Oh, our boy Phil does.
Right,
yeah.
And I just thought of someone else that does, too.
And
who's Asian.
Who happens to be Asian. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying, the link in this is mm-hmm. that she's Asian, Phil's Asian.
Both have beautiful voices.
And she's a tiny woman, mm-hmm. and Phil's a big woman.
And Phil, maybe if we could hook you up, you wouldn't have to go to the other side of the world to get your little banjo strummed.
Cambodia. Mm. Cambodia.
I should probably sing at all the Brampton Beast games because that's the level I am.
You know, it's funny.
He could be the mascot. He could be the beast.
The Brampton Beast.
Probably fit the costume.
Baby Asian. You know, we really have spent way too much time this week, as people can tell. It's certainly, and it's a hot topic. Humble and Fred, hot topic.
Boom, B.
Humble and Fred's hot topic this week. How do we sound? What's wrong with our mics? You know, I got a stack. Mm-hmm. This whole stack of email is nothing but people saying, hey, do you know the podcast sounds like shit? Yeah, we heard. But what we haven't spent enough time on is the environment that we're in. I look around this room and it's sort of weird because compared to where we were before, which was a huge cavernous space, I mean, it had a certain charm. I like that word, by the way. What this has, though, is, you know, we've worked in radio stations our whole lives. The booths or the, what would you call those? Like the areas that you and I worked in were all enclosed. Mm-hmm. They were very small. They were about the size of this.
Not much bigger.
Not much bigger than where we're sitting, just you and I.
Yep.
Forget having this.
Right.
I mean, this is smaller than what we came from 2 weeks ago, but it's bigger than most studios we've ever worked in.
The one we came from had more of a lofty feel,
yeah.
And this has more of a studio/living room feel.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like an attic compared to a living room.
Well, what I'm trying to say is this space we're in now, it far exceeds any of the, like, where we were at the Edge or where we were at Mojo or where we were at the Mix. We were basically in an enclosed studio. So where Phil is, excuse me, which is about 5 feet from me, that would be the end of the room.
Edge storefront.
No, for sure. I'm just different. Talking about upstairs at 16 on the 16th floor of Young and Dundas. Anyway.
Isn't that something? By the way, that anthem singer, her name is Martina Ortiz Luis. So I guess she's not Asian.
Sure she is. She's Filipino.
No, most likely.
Oh, Filipino. Yeah, oh, yeah. Does that qualify?
They have some beautiful names.
Does that qualify?
Okay.
Does that
That's right.
Qualify?
South Asia, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me back up. Hang on a second. What's that sound, Phil?
Beep, beep, beep.
It's the racist truck backing up.
How is that racist?
It's a Zamboni, though, because it's a hockey game.
I don't know. Everything's racist, buddy.
We should, you know what? Maybe I'll try and get her in here. I think she's 15.
Ah.
Like, it's crazy. And it just, this mouth opens and this, it's something. It really is wonderful. And now, yeah.
Likely your first job, too, because we're talking about 15. She doesn't go there for free, does she?
Oh, I don't know what the compensation would be, Phil.
Yeah, Phil, we're not in charge of compensating anthem singers.
One other, if I may.
Oh, God, please.
When we worked for Chorus Entertainment during the era that we often talk about, the CEO was John Cassaday, right? Although Cassaday wasn't there very long before we left. I think he started in 99, 2000, right? And we were gone.
What's your point?
You know, he was up for the job as CEO of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment.
Yes.
And I was just, yesterday I'm thinking, whatever happened to John? Because that job, he didn't end up with that job. So I did some Googling of his name.
Google.
You know what happened?
No.
He was up. His introduction as CEO of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment was imminent. And then apparently they signed Mike Babcock to that, whatever it was, $40 million contract. And apparently, from what I can gather, Cassaday went back to them and said, I think that's too much for a coach, number one. Number two, if you're paying a coach that much for a hockey team, you better get your head around paying me more. And the whole deal fell apart.
Come on.
Yep. And they hired some guy from Air Canada.
So he was about to make the announcement as the president of
Google
this.
It was imminent.
Google.
It was all over the sports pages that, you know, within the next couple of days, John Cassaday will be named MLSC CEO.
And so you're saying, if what I understand you to be saying,
yes,
that he said that's too much for a coach. I need more money.
And if you're going to pay a coach that, you better pay the guy running this ship, mm-hmm. captaining this ship, a little more money.
Yeah.
So I just found that very, very intriguing. Because and then there was a couple of articles sort of taking shots at him going, listen, it's just as well, because if you want this job, there it has to be
You got to be all in, buddy.
You got to be all in. It's got to be half as much passion as it does compensation. Plus, at this point in his life, compensation isn't a huge thing. I just lost my headset.
That's okay.
I think my microphone's off, isn't it?
No. Your microphone's on.
No, it's still on.
Microphone's on.
Because Johnny would have made millions as the head of Chorus. But anyway, I just found that very interesting. I wish you guys had as well.
I do find... Listen.
Because it's big business, big finance. Okay. What?
You know, and I say this, what I'm about to say, I say it with all due respect.
Adieu.
I say this with all due respect.
Right.
I'm trying to figure some stuff out.
No, I know. I know.
And what you were saying about the passion, about John Cassaday, about the time of his life, you know, I'm often struck by the notion that, you know, what's the matter?
Oh, no, that light was shaking.
The light was shaking. The shaky light was on. I'm often struck by the notion that, you know, what is John Cassaday? What did he know about radio? Before he was the CEO of a radio company, he was the CEO of a Campbell's Soup, I think. What did he know about soup?
Well, he was CEO of CTV, Television Network.
Okay,
as well.
Okay. Yeah. What did he know about television? But these guys, they just become guys that can be in charge of large organizations.
And Howard, yeah,
that's
go
the
ahead.
Key. No, I was just going to say, what I not to put down John, but those guys don't really, he doesn't have to have passion for hockey. He's a guy that knows how to run organizations.
Without a doubt. When I once did calculations, because being around John, I always sort of thought of him as older than me because he had accomplished so much more. You know what I mean?
No, for sure.
And his stature in the business world was huge. Turns out he was only like a year and a half older than me. Then I started doing calculations. When he ran the Campbell Soup Company, I think he was in his late 30s.
Sure.
So somewhere along the line, somebody identifies these diamonds in the rough or these, what do you call them? Like,
well, there's a CEO factory. There's a route, and if you Googled it, giggle.
Phil, the Google, you go on the Google.
Phil, Phil, get closer to the microphone, Phil. When I say Google, you Google.
You got it.
You Google. Here's what you do. If there's a, you know, in the States, I'm sure it's league. Then you take the business, and then you have the thing. In Canada, it's Upper Canada College. You go to there's Osgoode Hall, whatever it is, in the University of Toronto, and then you get an MBA from this school. And then all those guys and gals, then the CEO factory, they get identified as CEOs in the making.
A lot like hot young lawyers, right?
Yeah.
Who are brought into company. You know,
hot.
And I'm thinking, so he's 37, 38, running the Campbell Soup Company.
Yes.
Just think of the confidence, the self-esteem that it takes for a 38-year-old to take that on, walk in there and go, yeah, okay, I'm now in charge of all these people, including a lot of people older than me, been around longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, he's doing that at 37. When I was 37, I was,
I was wondering if you could help me.
I mean, what?
What if you can help me?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, we got too much in the peaking.
I was wondering if you could help me. And no, the fucking thing is, Cassaday used to love that character because he used to mention it to me the odd time. And he had a couple of favorite episodes. And I'm thinking, that's great. You know, John's driving to work and I'm giving him some levity before he goes into his high-level meetings for
sure.
10, 11 hours.
No, exactly. But I, it's funny when you did Goohead there at the beginning. It was like, I didn't know Goohead had MS.
I was wondering.
Hey, Goohead's out of shape.
Goohead's not in the shape he once was.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's a guy running Campbell's Soup, and you're going, I was wondering. Well, what about me? And when I was 37, so he's running an empire, and I'm going. All right, it's Humble and Fred, 7:15. Don't forget, a really tough contest is coming up, and here's the Tragically Hip, and Mr. Goohead's coming.
He's on the edge.
First thing you climb the tree,
then you talk.
All right.
And you know, this started with music, and I came across something as well.
What do you mean it started with music? Oh, talking about, by the way, my mood, which is right now one of concern,
right,
just became instantly lighter. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because I just checked my phone, and the great James Carr is coming in. No, I just pointed at you, Phil. The great James Carr is coming in at 9, and we're going to work this thing out.
I guess he'll be able to help us. I was wondering if Jim could help us.
No, I saw this thing, and it's Chris Martin, and it reminded me of you and Spencer. It's Chris Martin with his daughter.
Oh, yeah, we're just like Chris Martin and his daughter.
No, 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 it's very sweet, but she sings the song. She's 10 years old?
Do you want to play it?
I think I can.
Say with Freddie's computer.
Did you plug your computer in at the beginning of the show? Nice.
And this is, what's her name, Apple or something?
Yeah.
And she's with her dad.
My daughter's name is Crab Apple.
Yeah, you like that, Phil?
No. It's fucking
Crabby Appleton.
It worked good.
Crabby Appleton used to be a cartoon character. Crabby Appleton.
And did it sound like this? Hey, everybody, I'm Crabby Appleton.
I was jumped from a tree.
No, it works. But yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
His daughter's name is Apple.
Yours is Crab
Apple. Mine's Crab Apple. Sour Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, Apple. Fuck you, Daddy Apple is her real name. Fuck you, Daddy. She's unbelievable. She said this to me yesterday. I can't even repeat it. Go. Tell me about it.
What did Spencer say?
I'll tell you what Spencer said after.
Forgive me.
I tell you the story.
Forgive me the comparison, but here they are in a room, and he's playing the guitar, and she's at a mic singing, and I'm sorry, but I thought it's so sweet, it reminds me of Howard and Spencer.
Howard and Crabapple. Let's hear it.
Here we go.
That's how I always ask to be introduced.
Yeah, it sounds just like me. Is your computer all the way up? Nice. Nice. That's good. I think we got a flavor of that.
No, exactly. And remember, the point wasn't that she was fabulous.
No, I got it.
The point was it's a cute scene, which reminds me of you.
It's funny. Thank you. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's funny. I think I've made it fairly clear that Spencer hasn't lived a lot with me over the last 6 months. And over the last, you know, so normally I basically see her every day. I take her home from work, or I hang out with her here, and then I take her back to her mom's or wherever she has to go. But, and yesterday, usually I pick her up on Tuesdays, then we go into the city and we have dinner at some, you know, hip happening place, and I drop her off. But last night she said, I don't want to go out for dinner. I said, what do you want to do? She goes, can we have something at the house? And then I'm going to go down in the studio and sing for a couple hours.
Hmm.
And so yesterday, same thing, from about 5 to 7 here in our studio, I was upstairs and I could just hear her, you know, warbling, you know, at the top of her lungs. She just loves it. And then on the way home, I was saying, so, you know, she was talking about how much she loved being in the studio. She goes, I think I'm going to do a podcast. I said, sure. And then she proceeded to give me, you know, 20 minutes of ideas for her and her sister, because she wants to get Charlie involved.
What a great idea.
That's what I said to her. I said, you know, I'll show you how to use.
Even if it's once a month.
I said, go ahead and do it. She goes, well, what would I talk about? I said, I don't know. What, you know, what are you interested in? And I said, mm-hmm. You know, try and do 20 minutes with your sister this weekend, and we'll see how it sounds. Mm-hmm. But she is something else. Anyway. Welcome to the show, everyone. Today on the show, we were kind of wondering, like, sometimes this happens a lot because Fred and I are 111 years old combined.
The old prospector and the MS boy. I was wondering if you could prospect me.
Anyway, sometimes we'll say, hey, we should have this guy on the show. I think that's what happened with today's guest. Mm-hmm. He's written it, but then we go to promote it. Like the day before we do these things. Hey, tomorrow on the show. And we're like, both of us have no idea who this guy is. But today we remembered his name is Kevin Pryslak. I believe that's how you pronounce his name.
I feel especially bad because I saw that and forwarded it to Amanda and CC'd you. So, I mean, how sad is that?
This is my point exactly. Happens to us both. I've done it before. I've sent stuff to Amanda. She's booked it. And I'm like, who's this guy? So today, he's the author of a book called The Fuck It List. And it's funny because, you know, you Hundy Peas will remember, I brought this up a little, you remember this, Phil?
Yeah, I remember.
I didn't know it was a book, but I said I should have a fuck it list.
Right, because there was a movie with Morgan Freeman, I believe, called The Bucket List.
And, and when I was talking about it, I said, you know, I should have a fuck it list. And it was basically the premise of this book. He says it's about things that suck, and the idea is to say fuck it to all the things you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, skydiving, fuck it. Reading more classics, fuck it. Swimming with sharks, fuck it. All the things people think they want to do.
Right.
Mainly so they can say to other people, look, I did this.
He's got this one here. Fuck it. I'm not going to be in an orgy. Because that's so many guys would be thinking, oh, man, I love to be in that room with all these chicks and be fucking here, fucking there, fucking everywhere. But then when you would actually have to do it, it would be like, I'm not sure I want to do that.
No, exactly.
You know, I don't think I could deliver the goods.
Why are all those people there?
The chapters. Oh, no.
That guy who just walked in the door, why did he mess up the side of the couch?
Oh, that's a thing, isn't it?
Jeez. Yeah, it's funny about the orgy. Yeah. Even when I was younger and that movie Caligula came out.
Yeah.
I wasn't interested in being part of the giant collective. I always thought it was cool. Like there was some people off to the side.
Right.
So if I was in an orgy, I would want to be on the side stage. You know, right. I don't need to be in the main event. But chapters include F it, I'm not going to a nudist colony. F it, I'm not going to become a millionaire. I like this one. F it, I'm not getting a coffee enema. It's funny what people end up doing. Have you ever had a coffee enema?
No, I've had an enema. I've had a Fleet enema. I gave it to myself. So,
I'm sorry?
A Fleet enema.
You did it. I must know this story, but why did you have to have a
Fleet? You haven't given yourself one?
No.
I think it was for an ultrasound on my prostate. So I had to lay in the bathtub, and it's sort of this plunger-type thing, and you fill it full of liquid, and you shove it up your ass, and you squeeze it, and it blasts this stuff up your ass.
Hang on, I'm going to see.
And then you expel it.
Phil, let's Google Fred Fleet enema. Let's see what comes up.
It's not just a turkey baster up the bum, right? It's not like,
well, it's more or less like that.
Really?
But it's a piece of plastic, and you actually have to, and you put a little bit of lube on it, and you ram it up your ass.
And how
and
does
then
that
you
feel?
Squeeze it, and it blasts up there.
And then what happens?
And then it sort of like falls out, or, you know, is
expelled.
You're saying that, like,
and then
okay.
It cleans you right out.
Yeah, good. Sounds
it's
fantastic.
Called a Fleet enema. Try it, Howard.
Oh, let me tell you what. Listen, I can go up 3 floors right now and try it.
Because it's interesting. You know when you have your when you have the colonoscopy.
Yes, I do.
You drink that thing. You know, you drink the
enema juice?
The mixture. That's
right,
stuff you drink and then
Ducalax.
This is different. You got to go right up there with the apparatus.
By the way, have you noticed that I haven't been leaning too heavily on hang on, I'm just going to go home for a second when I run up the stairs? I mean, I do it a little bit, right, Phil?
Oh, yeah.
But I don't lean on it. You know, a lot of guys, a lot of cheesy guys would be all over that. Hey, I just got to go home for a second and then just walk up the stairs. But I don't do that.
I just got to run upstairs and give myself a Fleet enema.
That's what I was going to say. Mm. During the break, during this first break in about 20 minutes, I might try it. Maybe just get like, you know, a tiny bit up there just so I can, you know, relate.
You might have to run a light, though. You have to turn it on first. But
all right. Well, listen, we got it. So that guy's going to be on the show. That's going to be cool. Also, the retirement Sherpa, I believe, in studio. Today in our studio, would you like me to shut that door right there?
I don't care. Has no effect on me. Do you want it shut?
Well, I don't know.
Does it not feel right having it open?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we should shut that just to close off the residence in case, you know.
Excuse me. I'm going to pop up to your place and shut the door.
Yeah, would you go over to my house and shut the door?
Okay.
Just see
if
you're going to do
it's
that
long.
Yeah. Okay, now he's in my house. Hey, Fred, what's going on in my house?
Okay, I just left Howard's place. I'm back.
Fucking commute's gonna kill me.
You know, a cheesier fellow than me would be all over that.
Would be. Oh, I know.
I'm just going to. Hey, I could say to Spencer, we were having dinner last night. I could have said, hey, honey, I just got to go. I got to go over to work just for a second and get something. I left something at work.
I feel like I never leave work. I feel like I live at my job. All those things.
There's no balance and that sort of thing.
Well, it's with a heavy heart that I have to announce the following. Hang on a second here.
Is this just in?
No.
Oh.
Hang on. I'm just trying to find the appropriate music. Phil, how are things with you and Vong? And Vaughn.
Pearl.
What's her name?
Pearl.
Pearl.
That's her, yeah. So her Cambodian name includes the word Vang.
Vang.
You should check out her ID card. It's just full of this weird Cambodian stuff.
No, is it?
Yeah, she's doing well.
Why the CSI theme, you may ask? It's time for another episode of CSI, Humble and Fred. I don't know. You know, it's funny. I went my whole life, for the most part, without the following happening to me. I went almost my entire life till my mid-40s without being fired. And in radio, that's something. You know, radio people are often, you know, they're, it's often said, you know, well, you haven't, you're not really a radio person until you've been fired. And you and I went most of our careers. If you could put our career on a spreadsheet, like the first 87% of it, whatever, was fire free.
Yes.
And then once we got fired once, it became, I guess, easy for people.
Just couldn't stop.
Just couldn't stop
like
firing us. It was. That's really funny. Firing Humble and Fred became like eating Pringles. You just can't stop doing it. That's really funny to me. Jesus. The kid, eh? Kid's got, you know, sometimes Phil comes out of the bullpen.
No.
And he'll throw an inning or two.
Smoke.
Fucking smoke show.
Bat flip.
And then he'll do that.
Yeah, and then it'll be stupid.
Yeah, and then he'll just fucking, then he, you know, it's a weird thing about Phil. He has two speeds. He has high heat or it doesn't get to the plate.
You know, I think, what I'm saying, I think being right? in love has made him funnier, too. Just lighter. He's bouncy. He's,
but it's, yeah. But am I right, though? He'll deliver like a high heat, upper 90s fastball, and then he'll just go, and he'll bloop one over the plate. Anyway, so two things. I never got fired, and I never had anything stolen from me. And since 2010... I've had a break-in in my house. I've had a break-in in my car away from my house, like in the city. You 100%ers know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And then two nights ago, Monday night, I got in late. And between the hours of 11:30 or 11:15, and when Phil came in at 5 a.m. the following morning, my car got broken into again. But it's the weirdest thing. I called Freddie. And then, you know, I didn't even discover it until I was leaving yesterday morning around 10:30 to leave the residence. I was like, oh, this is shit. My GPS is gone, which is ridiculous because it was like 5, 6, 7 years old. It's like a piece of shit. My sunglasses are gone. Nice ones. My.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like brand, well, not brand new, but they were Ray-Bans. So it's
no,
like.
No, but still, you like them.
$275 sunglasses that somebody had given me, by the way. It was a gift. Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
So those are gone. And the weird thing is I had a bunch of clothes in the back seat. I had like a $200-ish tailor-made rain jacket, which I really liked.
For golf?
For golf. Mm-hmm. I had a bunch of brand new golf hats that TaylorMade had given me because they sponsored the podcast, the golf one. What else did they take? They took my remote. So this
Your
all
garage
happened.
Door
my garage door. The garage door opener right here. And as I said to you, I said, listen, there was no force entry, but I know one thing. I don't leave my car door open. I've lived in, you know, I'm a grown man. I don't know what that means. But, you know, I mean, I've lived in cities my whole life. I can't imagine one time I didn't, because my door locks with the fob. I just go beep and it locks.
All I would say is just think about some of the things you and I have both complained about doing as we get a bit older.
Fair enough.
That's all I would say to that. Not that you did or would, or, but you just never know. But I thought you told me this morning there was signs of forced entry.
Well, the only thing I can see as a sign of entry was there's a slash mark on the upholstery of the driver's side seat, as though somebody were working something. Like, I don't know how you break it. My buddy Dave was saying, he's a former cop, he says you can get like a flapjack or a Slim Jim or something. I'm not sure what it's called. Is it a flapjack? Did somebody break into my car using a pancake?
A pepperette.
Is it a pepperette? A Slim Jim?
Salami.
Yeah. Is it bruschetta? Did they use bruschetta? Jesus.
If you've ever locked your keys in your car and called like CAA or somebody and watched these guys how easily they get into your car, it's very, at the moment, you're like, oh, great, you're in, thank you very much. This has happened to me a couple of times. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you walk away thinking, my God, if they can do it, like any thief could do the same thing. Really, they have this little flat piece of metal. They just slide it down between the weather stripping and the window and pop, and it opens.
So somehow they got into my car, stole that. And the weird thing is, and I'm going to, it's funny, I've written down all the things that I've had stolen from me in the last 6.5 years. It's pretty bizarre, having never had anything stolen from me before. But back to this current investigation. So I go yesterday. I had a golf. I golf occasionally, right?
Yeah, once in a while.
And after having my car broken into, I was like, I literally on my way to the golf course, so I really couldn't deal with much of it. Anyway, the garage door opener was taken, and so I was talking to my buddy Dave on the way, and I called Fred, and I said, okay, here's what's happened. Here's what I should do. Blah blah blah. Dave said, you know, you can reprogram the garage door opener when you get home. And I said, well, I'm not sure I'll be able to do that. And I said, well, at the very least, I'll just unplug it. But then I get home. It's, I don't know, 5:30. Phil leaves here at around 12:30.
Yeah, approximately.
And my garage door is open. So during the daylight hours, these people, whoever it was, came back and they opened the garage door again, but didn't take anything. Nothing's gone from the garage. We had a bunch of panels in there. We had some Humble and Fred stuff. And
you know, there's always an upside, a bright side to anything, as you know.
Yeah.
That's the way we like to look at life, right?
You're absolutely right.
I would think in a situation like that, their motive may have been to come into the garage, shut it. Then they're shielded from breaking into the actual apartment. We're so lucky that did not happen. Because think about that. They could be inside the garage. Nobody sees them. They could be working away at opening the door to get to the valuable stuff. But they didn't do that.
Here's my theory. By the way, good one. Excellent detective work. But here's what I also think. They got in the garage, and unlike the night before, when they were dicking around with my car, the stand man starts barking.
Maybe that was
Because when I leave him in the residence, he has the run of the entire place. But if he hears anything on the main floor, he comes right down, like right outside the door behind you. Stan would be barking at somebody.
And never complains about having to climb all those steps.
It's funny you say that, because sometimes he doesn't want to.
Oh, right.
I'm telling you, he gets tired.
You know, that was probably the motive. Maybe they even did that.
They
came
started,
in, shut that, and then started at the door, and then he started barking.
Yeah.
And then they thought, oh, no, wait.
It's not worth it.
This proximity here with the townhouse affair here, that too many people will hear this.
So it's kind of a drag, and I've reprogrammed the garage door opener. You know, we're getting security this week. You know, I mean, it's all fine. And it's funny because when you said we look on the bright side, here's the things that I've had stolen. I had my house broken into when my kids were there. They stole a laptop. Now, that laptop I got from the last radio station I worked at, which was Boom 97.3. They stole that. So I replaced that laptop, and then you and I started working together, and we had that laptop stolen from our office in the old place when I went out to go to the washroom for 5 seconds.
And then say hi to our neighbors.
Say hi to our neighbors. That laptop was stolen. Then we replaced that laptop, and that replacement laptop had the coffee spilled all over it. That laptop was replaced.
Right.
The replacement laptop was then stolen at Queen and whatever that is.
Oh, right,
McCall.
With the smashed window.
So they smashed the window of my car, stole that laptop, and that laptop replacement is sitting right here. So if you're not, it's hard to keep score. I've had three laptops stolen. Three of them. My house, the office, and my car. Three laptops stolen. And what else was stolen?
Humble and Fred, fiscal 14 could have been a lot healthier without your laptop problems.
Well, okay, but one of them, first of all, the laptop that was stolen from the office and the laptop that had coffee spilled on it really are my fault.
No, of course not. No one said. It's none of it's your fault.
Yeah, and the fact that I had my laptop stolen from my car at Queen and McCall in Toronto, and someone said to me, well, why did you have your computer bag in your car? I said, yeah, I guess that was a mistake.
You know, so much of the way Torontonians live is you're naive. You don't, until it happens to you, you don't really think it's going to, because it's not, you're not used to that stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
you know, there's certain pockets of the city. If you live there, you get to know. You're conditioned to that. But, you know, a goober like me and you, if from the suburbs, you get downtown. You don't, it doesn't cross your mind that somebody's going to break your window and steal your property.
But I get that. I've learned my lesson. You know, whenever I have my computer in the car, I always put it in the trunk. And this recent break-in, you know, they didn't really steal. Listen, the thing that really could have fucked me up, and I know you're going to think this is stupid, but if they've stolen my golf clubs, they're irreplaceable. It's not just the replacement value of them. They're irreplaceable. I mean, I could. It would be a process because they're all
fitting.
Fitted to me. They're all. I mean, they're really like I got a great deal on them, and the guy that the people that helped me with them. It's a process to get them to replace them, but for some reason they didn't steal those. But here's what I was going to say about the glass half full or on the bright side. In none of these instances have I ever been hurt, and I thought about this last night. I've just had stuff taken from me, and it's just stuff. It really is. You know, yeah, you were kidding about the fiscal 14, and yeah, I'm five. This, I think if I could really, if I went over it, this computer I'm using right now is the fifth computer replaced from the original radio station one.
Holy fuckwad. Jesus. I lost track.
Holy fuckwad. You know, you took the words right out of my mouth, Meatloaf. You took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm a bat of a hell in the...
But I've never been hurt.
Well, your heart's been broken.
Nah, I've just been... You know what? It bugs me.
Well, tell me the sunglasses doesn't break your heart a bit as a lovely gift that you got.
Well, it doesn't break my heart.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Makes you feel
it
sad.
It bugs me because I'm like, hey, you know, even yesterday, I was going to pick up Spencer, as I do, and... did that just get a buzz? Just happened? Just no one can hear it except for me, right?
No, I hear
it. There's a little buzz there.
Anyway, Jim Carr is coming here at 9. It'll all be fine. When I picked up Spencer yesterday, there was a huge traffic jam on the 401. There was an accident, and there's construction around the 410. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get off the 401. I don't have a GPS anymore, but I think I can figure my way out to figure. And I got into an area of Mississauga that I've honestly, it was like Eglinton, way west around Mississauga Road. I had no idea where I was, and I was a little frustrated because I was trying to use Google Maps, I was trying to use Waze, and it wasn't working. And I thought to myself, you know, this is what happens when somebody steals something from you. It's sunny out. I can't put sunglasses on, and I really can't find my way back to where she is.
That's why I don't understand thieves. It's hard to, because when somebody steals something off you, they have no consideration that you worked, you got paid, you went and bought it for yourself, sort of like an achievement.
Sure.
On whatever level, and then they just come and take. Thieves are low life. You know, I mean, really. So it's like, let everybody else do the work, let everybody else pay the bill, and I'll just take it. You fucking slime ball.
You know, and I was, you know, it's funny. About 25 minutes ago, I said, oh, Spencer said something. And I was like, I'll get into it. And Spencer, you know, obviously she was worried that, you know, some, you know, was daddy okay? But then we started, you know, then you'll love this conversation. Then she started talking about, well, you know, I wasn't really complaining because honestly, and I know maybe old Howard would have freaked out. But, you know, new Howard's had a lot of other worse things happen to him in the last, you know, 10 years. You know, my dad dies, I get fired a bunch of times, marriage breaks up, you know, broken heart, all this. So I have a perspective maybe I didn't have 10 years ago, but I was saying to her, basically what you were saying, like, you know, when I finally got there, I'm sort of saying, you know, daddy's a little bit bummed because I had a GPS yesterday morning, and if these people don't steal it, it's sitting right there where it used to be. Then I said, you know, when it's sunny out, and I don't have the sunglasses that I had 24 hours ago. And here's what she said. Well, you never know, maybe the person who broke in, you know, they needed it for food. And I went, stop. Fucking, let's not go down the less fortunate, you know, that needed. I said, sweetie, you know what? That GPS would have got you $10. The glasses are worth $15. They weren't breaking into my car for food money.
No.
You know, typical 18-year-old kid. Oh, well, you know, maybe the less fortunate needed it more than you. Fine. But, you know, I didn't take anything from them.
Well, it's not Robin Hood stealing your stuff.
No, I don't buy that either. You know why? Because there's all kinds of outlets. Listen, there are food banks and what do you call them? Knights tables or whatever. All over the city where somebody can go and get a meal.
Yeah.
Or walk into a place and get a coat. So don't give me that shit.
They're not
he stole it because he wanted the fucking cash, maybe to buy fucking drugs or
whatever it was. Yeah. But it's like, and no one's fencing. That's what I was trying to say. Honey, no one's fencing my used Ray-Bans for any amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, great, let's break into this BMW so we can go to Harvey's. Because that's all you're going to get. You're going to get Harvey's money.
It would be easier to stand in front of Harvey's and ask for a toonie from two or three people, and there's your meal.
But I just love that logic. Well, you know, maybe they needed it more than you. Okay, great. That's super. Thanks for your fucking sympathy. Anyway. Oh, yeah. So that's the story of the latest break-in at Humble and Fredland.
It really is. It is unsettling. I've been lucky. I haven't. Years and years ago, did I ever tell you that story? I had a party at my place. I had just moved into my house on Kingfisher Court in Brampton. A house still, and I probably even shouldn't say this, some days goes unlocked. I can leave my garage door open all night. Did it the other night. Nothing missing. But years and years ago, just after I had moved in, I had a party one night. My buddy Brian Collins parked his van at the end of my court. And he came out to go home, and it was gone.
Is this the place you're living in now?
Yeah. So this probably happened in the late 90s. Well, that still hasn't worn off, you know, as history has it. Oh, geez, you don't want to go to Fred's place.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
The main streets of Brampton.
20. Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ, that Brampton. Hey, geez, you leave your goddamn vehicle at Fred's. It's gone. Anyway, but since then, honestly, like, nothing. Absolutely nothing. So you get this sort of complacency, which I'm sure you had at one point. And then when it happens, it's got to be unsettling, almost like violated, because you must have a feeling like if that happens, shit, anything can happen, you know?
Well, and it's happened to me, as I've just pointed out, so much in the last 6 or 7 years. I mean, I had my house in Oakville basically broken into, and in this case, I left the door open because it was the suburbs.
Right.
I just didn't lock the front door.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie was asleep on the couch. I went to bed. Somebody literally walked by my sleeping daughter, got a laptop, grabbed some other shit, and then went out of the house.
Like, how?
I know. And then, you know, this
like,
one.
What are you thinking?
And then they tried to steal my car. I've told this story. You 100%ers know they couldn't steal the car because they couldn't figure out how to start it.
Right. There's a button. And
but
a
they stole the fob.
Yeah.
So not only do I lose the computer, the key thing.
Which is worth a couple hundred bucks.
$300.
Yeah.
And anyway, what I was going to say is I still, you know, it's made me a little bit more cautious. That's why I know I didn't leave my car unlocked. There's just no way I would do that.
You know, up north in areas, certain areas of the North Country, they tell you if you have a cottage, never lock it during the winter. Just leave it open. Because if somebody in an isolated area where nobody can see somebody committing the crime,
they're just going to smash a window.
Just don't leave. Let them walk in and take whatever. You know, just make sure you don't leave booze and whatever. Let them just walk in, look around, and leave. Because if you don't, they'll smash a door down, break a window, and then it's like that all winter.
Sure, and that's
and
all
animals can get in, and
all to get that stupid, you know, singing fish you've got on top of your cottage wall
or the deer
head.
That's
a meal. Yeah. That's a meal when you sell it.
Let's talk a little bit about FYI music news, and then we'll take our first break. Looking for when are we supposed to talk to the fuck it list guy, Phil? Anyone?
It should be about 8:30, right? Something like that. Someone's calling in for that.
Hold on.
All right.
Hey.
Hey.
What is this? Tom Cochran and the Happy Hooker. Before Tom's career became red hot, he composed, produced, and played nearly all the instruments for the soundtrack to Xavier Hollander's
I knew that.
Happy Hooker.
Isn't that weird?
My Pleasure is My Business. I read that novel as a kid, and it gave me a warm one.
Did your nutsack get all tight?
Yeah. That's cool, though.
Ready for someone's chin.
Anyway.
Ready for somebody's chin.
In this edition of FYI, he looks back on that project with a certain degree of humor, I guess so. Hey, there's a careers section at FYI Music News. If you want to work within the industry, keep checking that out. You might find something you like. And It's Your Shot 2016. Enter now if you have a band or you're even a solo artist, because there's lots of prizes, $50,000 in total prize value. It's Your Shot 2016, all at fyimusicnews.ca.
When we come back, we'll talk about Sleep Country. Let's take a break now, because I know the network is ready for one. Welcome to another Humble and Fred show. It's great to have you with us around North America on Sirius XM, around the world at humbleandfredradio.com.
Hey, this is Matt O'Brien for Canada Laughs. Is this real? You're listening. Keep listening.
Mama. Shaka hoo hoo.
Shaka Khan.
Mama. Nendakis. Induction.
Patsy. Patsy.
Send me all that. Can you do that? All that that just happened?
Mama.
Certainly appreciate you being here. It's Humble and Fred Radio around North America. You can call us. If you're listening to the podcast, like a lot of people yesterday, very upset about the sound quality. We'll get to that in a second. A lot of your emails, lots of stuff happening today on the show. We're going to speak to a guy that's written a very interesting book called The Effort List. You know what the F word is? I don't need to remind you. His name is Kevin Pryslak, and he's written a book, and we're going to be speaking to him, Fred. But first, I would like to speak about the fine folks at this company. Canada, buy a mattress anywhere else. Let me tell you something about Sleep Country, Fred. The Simmons Queen Set is now just $749. The Queen Set from Sealy, just $639. It's a hot buy. Also, don't forget you can buy a BioSoy pillow and get a second BioSoy pillow for free. Let me just say this. If you're the kind of person that appreciates a BioSoy pillow, you would want more than one. Would you not agree?
Mm-hmm. Can you eat that when you're done?
I don't believe you can.
Oh, okay.
I do think, though, in the case of a zombie apocalypse, you could use those for nutrition.
Okay.
Yeah. Headboards and linens and pillows and mattresses and sleep experts and so much more, as well. Some wonderful charity work going on at Sleep Country. Give a kid a coat. Help a child in need stay warm this winter. I mean, in a way, I'm kind of like Sleep Country when it comes to charity because, you know, I gave a person less fortunate than myself my sunglasses, my crappy GPS, my garage door opener. This is what I'm saying. We're all in this together, Fred. You and me and Sleep Country.
We could actually talk about that a little more. And again, when Spencer says that to you, there's really no use in arguing. She just needs to live a little bit more and experience a little bit more. Because, you know, we've talked about it before on the show. I used to have similar debates with my son where the world just seemed a lot simpler than
for
it
sure.
is. And now that same person who is anti-capitalist, anti-establishment, has now sort of figured it out that, you know, you either hop on and join the ride or get left behind.
No, for sure. And I knew you'd appreciate that because at 18, it's easy to go, well, Daddy, you know, somebody needed that for food. Oh, do they? And what do you use for food? Me.
Yeah, and, you know, and what you come to realize, there's just low-life scumbag fucking assholes out there. And, you know, who could come from a solid upper-middle-class environment. They're just slime. So.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, I don't know. I'm going to say I don't really believe in karma. But then I think, well, what if I say that? And karma, I mean, I don't think I did anything to have three computers stolen, two cars broken into, you know, shit taken from me. And as I, you know, as I've gotten older, I realized, and I thought this last night, I've had all this stuff happen because I was thinking, okay, this will be good content for the show. Mm-hmm. But I really did believe, you know, I've been very lucky. I've never had anybody hurt. I've never been hurt.
No.
Everything can be replaced, changed, fixed. You know, all that stuff. It's not even insurance anymore. It's just like, you know, it's the, you know, it's the drag of having to deal with it. Again, coming home last night, I didn't have a GPS anymore. Because somebody took it from me.
Right.
So it's a bit of a drag. No big deal. But at least I wasn't hurt. Knowing that, you know, that, you know, it's like you, because sometimes you can have bad luck where you end up being hurt and or somebody you love is hurt. You know, somebody walked by my sleeping daughter in the middle of the fucking night. So
when you think of what could have happened, say she was home alone.
Exactly. So before we go any further into this program, I'll tell you one thing that whether you've had a break in or you're break in free. You need to eat, and that's why.
It's no wonder, people call a pizza when they're hungry for the very, very best.
I realized your microphone was not on before, Phil. Freddy.
Bear with me here 1 second. I want to talk about pizza abilities. This is what I want to do.
Well, there are. The pizza abilities are endless.
Yes, they are.
9-11.
And how about this? At Pizza Pizza, pick up an extra large 16-inch pepperoni pizza for just $9.99 and get a Pizza Ability scratch and match card to win prizes like gift cards, cash, and one of 10 trips to Universal Orlando Resort. So many pizza abilities at Pizza Pizza.
You know, this young fellow that works for us, works with us, Phil Hong, is such an interesting human being. Here in our office / my residence, there's so many doors and locked doors and keys. Honestly, Phil, I could take you for a tour of all the keys I have to all the different doors in this office.
You'd look like a prison guard because of all the keys and the big ring and everything.
Exactly. So what I did, I guess, because I didn't even do it on purpose. I must have done it instinctively, is there's a door that Phil has access to get into the office from the back of our building.
Right.
But there's another door that I can lock that separates that door. It doesn't matter. My point is I never lock it because I've thought of this. I've thought to myself, I can't lock that door because then Fred and Phil can't get in the place. So this morning I get up, do my thing, I wake up, and then I come down here, I have my cereal, and then I look, and the place is dark, and I'm like, oh, God. And I know exactly what's happened. I've locked that door, and poor Phil has been sitting in the parking lot since 5 a.m. Now, if it's you or me, what is the first thing we do? We text.
Message, yeah.
We message. We say, hey, FYI. I'm in the parking lot. I can't get into the studio. But Phil doesn't do that. Because I got up at, 5:30. If you had texted me, I'm in the parking lot. I can't get in the studio. I would have come right down.
But I was all right. I mean,
in my night clothes. Well,
can you get the Wi-Fi out there?
Well, I can't. But the thing about it is, though, I don't mind it. Because
but
I don't want to wake you
mind.
Up.
Well,
did you,
Phil.
Did you get to spend that time talking to Wang?
Yes, Pearl. As you can see, the windows were steaming.
Well, no, but did
you?
What did you do from 5 a.m. until 10 to 6 when I came down here?
Well, I was watching Pearl working.
Oh, so you were on your phone?
Yeah, I was
but
checking.
How did you not get the Wi-Fi? Yeah. You're only like...
No, I got my data. Yeah.
But could you not have connected from there?
You probably could, but I think we would have to connect to the extension network. We have 3 Wi-Fi networks in the studio.
We do?
Yeah.
I thought we only had 2.
Do we?
What's the third one?
Well, we have the router that we have has 2 networks, and then there's a box upstairs.
Because I'm not getting the Wi-Fi so good in my up in the bedroom. Doesn't matter. My point is, any other person who's not Phil would have texted me and said, "Hey, just so you know, I can't get in."
Mm-hmm.
But the boy just sat there in the parking lot watching over.
What a prince!
He's a super boy.
Well, it was 5:30 in the morning. As I said, I didn't want to wake anyone up. I mean,
that's
not
very
timely,
Phil. That's very considerate of you. It's more than I would have done.
Well, more than any normal person would have done. I mean, normal.
Phil, you're not normal.
No.
Well, he isn't. He's extra special.
I know.
While I'm talking about Mitsubishi here, Fred, can you figure out, are we calling this dude or is he calling us?
Hold on.
One of the things about Mitsubishi Motors that we've all been learning now is not only is the product amazing, you've got your Outlander, you got your Lancer, your Lancer Sportback.
Or the hot new CUV River.
The RVR. I think you'd look good in the 2017 Mirage, Phil, because it's very similar to that little thing you're driving,
which
can no longer
engine.
Be. Pardon me?
We share the same engine.
Well, whatever. We're not naming your car anymore.
Nope, no.
Your car is just for all intents and purposes, should be a Mitsubishi.
Should have been.
Get to know Mitsubishi's 10-year, 160,000-kilometer powertrain limited warranty. That's what you need to know about Mitsubishi. It really is the thing, along with the service and the winter tire package. All those things make Mitsubishi this country's most outstanding car company. And if you want, you can check out the Toronto area dealers at gtamitsubishi.ca. Go in there and say, I heard about you on the Humble and Fred Show. That would be amazing.
At 8:30, Kevin's calling in from New York on the studio line.
And what about Nibble?
Nibbles is 8:15.
All right. Very nice.
Is he coming in or is he on the phone?
I thought he was coming in.
I thought he was in Ottawa.
Okay. Well, somebody should figure that out.
Well, we'll know one way or the other quite soon.
Even though we haven't done this yet today, I would like to check in with our producer, Kyle Hirschhorn.
Kyle.
That's my Kyle. Kyle.
Yep. I'm here.
That was quite an intro. Kyle, have you left the studio?
Yeah, I walked up for 1 second to eat a banana, but I'm here.
Well, where is he?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear him.
Yeah, but I can't see him on the microphone.
Oh, I'm on the actual mic, not the talk back.
Okay.
Why is everyone hearing him but me?
Really? I hear him loud and clear, Howard.
Yeah, ditto, ditto. Mm-hmm.
Ditto, ditto. Why do you have to...
Dildo.
You talk about good boys. Look at Kyle. He left the studio to eat a banana because you're not supposed to eat or drink in the studio.
Just an exception for you guys the other week.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Now yeah. I can hear him. Yeah, go ahead and talk, Kyle.
Yeah, I'm here, Howard.
So you got a banana? Because here's the weird thing. It's serious.
Can't get banana in the board, eh? You don't want to squish a banana in the board.
Well, there's other people that are always watching around here, so.
Oh, I know.
You know how it is.
So you're not allowed to bring any kind of food into that studio?
No, yep, we did.
Nothing.
And I was eating my apples and my yogurts and drinking my coffee there last week.
And Fred, I was watching, but I wasn't saying anything.
Well, maybe that's why I was getting the weird looks from the people walking by.
Could be.
Because they're thinking, why does he get to do it and I don't? What if the people there thought Ed got some special permission to eat in there? And then they would be jealous. And maybe that's why they don't like us. When it was completely innocent, Howard. We didn't know.
No, I know. Mm-hmm. The next hour is brought to you by the people that don't like us. Thanks, Kyle.
Okay.
So, Kyle, is it still sounding okay? It sounds fine?
It sounds okay. It's not perfect, but it's not horrible.
Well, there you go. That's a great
that's a great
endorsement. I love that endorsement. It's not horrible, but it's not perfect. Thank you, Kyle.
All right, thank you.
See, I guess because my headphones are on a different system, I don't really hear him like you guys do. It doesn't matter. I don't know. You know, and the thing is, I got to tell you, I'm very proud of how I'm handling all this. Because I could be I could be convinced to freak the fuck out if you wanted to.
Remember the transmission from here to there?
Yeah.
Has changed from the last studio to a different method. Methodology.
But what just happened, the fact that you could hear him and I couldn't, is because of where I plug my headphones in.
No, I understand. I'm talking about the sound.
No, I know. Listen, yesterday...
But people are saying it sounds great. You said it sounded good yesterday.
On Sirius.
I did. And then I got this Sirius file and played it off my phone into my little Bose Bluetooth speaker. Tiny, $150. Sounded great. Filled my living room. Filled.
Hi, guys.
Hello, people.
Hi, guys.
No. I don't want to go through everyone. The reason I thought we would just point out the number of people that have reached out to us over the last couple of days is pretty spectacular. Mostly saying the following. This is one of my favorites. Hey, curious if you have had any feedback yet as to the horrible sound quality of today's podcast. The answer is yes.
Just a little bit.
Let me explain. When I put it on iTunes and I hit the publish button, everybody that subscribes gets that download. Unfortunately, yesterday, that file, and again, you build, there's a certain complacency. You know, you just take for granted it's okay. So when I hit publish, we really didn't realize how bad that file was. Almost immediately, we realized it was bad, so I have to unpublish. But unfortunately, for a lot of people, they get the original one.
Well, we have a very short conveyor belt. You know, in factories, sometimes you have quality control, and that's a very long belt. We really don't.
So those people who complained, I quickly got back to them and said, you know, just reload. That's all I can tell you. And they did, and it was fine.
No, that's a really good point. And what happened is all these people that have complained, and again, it's very sweet of you to reach out to us. And they weren't, it wasn't so much they were complaining, but they were trying to help. Trying to help us out. You know, like Rudra said, I'm sure there are others who have let you know the podcast did not sound good. The levels were very high, probably what Howard was hearing in his headphones. And I didn't want to dwell on it too much today because it is what it is, as I pointed out, like everything else in the world.
It's just the way it is.
It's just the way
some
it is.
Some things are meant to be.
Bruce Hornsby. But so what happened was we published that, as you said, and then right away we went, oh, we got to stop that. So everyone got that, and hopefully, you know, the Sirius people are the ones that are making out okay because the sound coming out of Sirius is pretty good.
Excellent.
By the way, Rudra also said the soccer player, we were talking about this yesterday, about athletes that had scored on their own goal. Mm-hmm. Somehow, I don't remember how he got onto the guy in Colombia. It wasn't the goalkeeper. It was the guy who scored on his own goal in the World Cup in the U.S. against the USA. Colombia was favored, and the guy who did it was a guy named Andres Escobar, who was apparently killed.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He was arguably the best player in the world at the time, and he got they killed him. They killed him for fucking up the soccer game.
You're not worthy of our coffee.
No, man, Escobar did it. I'm on the last episode, I think.
Yeah, it's great.
There's only 9, I believe.
It might have been Shane because
just,
his last name.
Just so you know, it doesn't end. Did I tell you that with Escobar? And that's giving nothing away. The series will continue. They'll concentrate on another cartel, a different cartel.
The Cali cartel?
One that's developing now. So
the Cali cartel?
There's Tim.
There's Nibbles. There's Nibbles.
Oh, stop it, Stan.
Ridiculous. So, I was watching Narcos last night. So am I on the last episode? Yeah. No, I've got... I'm on episode 9, and there's episode 10.
Yes.
You know who I think is the weakest characters? No, I need Tim here. Oh. You know who are the weakest characters on that series, I think? Are the two cops.
Yeah.
Especially the American, the DEA guy.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. With the mustache? Yeah. Oh, they both have
mustaches.
They
both have mustaches. And the one
you mean
guy.
The blonde guy.
The blonde guy.
The fair guy, yeah.
The Pena, the Colombian DEA guy, looks so much like Burt Reynolds now.
No, I know.
I can't stop. I can't get over it.
Looks like a young Burt Reynolds. No, I know he does.
And ever since you and I pointed out that Escobar's mom looks like Tootsie, I can't stop seeing that as well.
You know, it's
funny. Are you watching that? Are you watching Narcos?
It's funny when you know, sometimes you consider casting because. I watched that other show you did, and it was called Tyrant. And the main character's wife, named Molly, he's from this country in the Middle East, and she's a blonde American. And I used to say that during the whole time we watched that, I said to Delise, she's so miscast. She just doesn't fit in this. Like, I don't know what they were thinking when they chose her to play that character.
Yeah.
But it happens.
I mean, in the case of the detective Pena, it's in the 70s. Everyone looked, you know, they all grew that weird Burt Reynolds mustache.
Yes.
But just the characters themselves, like the guys who were really interesting, obviously the Narcos. But, you know, what they've done in season 2 that I really like, and I think we've talked about this, they'll juxtapose actual footage of the characters, weave them through the story. It's pretty cool. Like, in last night's episode, they were showing who the real president was at the time, a press conference, and then they cut to the character playing that guy. It was pretty cool.
You know, different levels. We talk about thieves, people that break into your car.
That's right, I had a break-in.
And what are they thinking?
Yes.
But even Escobar, so many times along the way, he had the chance to sort of get out of it, be rich beyond anyone's dreams, and carry on a life, but chose not to. Like, what? Like, that's seriously a mental illness, because he had his wife, he had his kids. I mean, he really could have done a little bit of time, easy time, and then sort of got out and just joined the regular population and still had millions hidden all over the place.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to do that.
I think part of it is because he saw himself as the crusader of Colombia, and that he knew what was better for the country.
But he should have been a little more selfish.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you who's not selfish is this character, Tim Niblett, a portfolio manager, Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Please say hello to Professor Nibblesworth, everybody.
Hello, Timmy.
Good morning there, gentlemen. Just a little suggestion, after hearing you guys do your duet yesterday morning, I think maybe you might do a musical episode sometime. I'll reach out to Barks and maybe we can do Leather and Lace or something like
that.
Yeah,
we should do that. Like, yeah. When you come in?
Sure.
Sure.
Could be the lowest rated podcast ever.
I don't know about that. We've done some pretty horrible things. Nibby, what's going on, son?
Oh, just getting ready to go to Ottawa to meet with one of the fine, humble, and Fred listeners and make him a happy client.
Are you really?
Absolutely.
Like, you're going to take a road trip to meet with somebody?
Yeah, because I'm not driving to Florida till tomorrow afternoon, so I may as well go to Ottawa and back today. What the heck?
Are you flying or driving?
I was in Guelph and Kitchener yesterday, but other than that, I've been staying close to home.
Are you flying to Ottawa?
Just going to drive.
Oh, drive. Wow.
Yeah, you know what? Driving's probably going to be, it's not quite just right in Ottawa. Yeah, it's going to take the same amount of time. So.
Yeah.
I can listen to a podcast.
Let me get this straight. You're going to drive to Ottawa to have a meeting with... Now, is this a client that came through the Humble and Friend show?
Yes, sir.
Really?
A client to be, but through the show, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting thing. Like, you're not driving to Ottawa to have, like, a coffee with somebody to see if they'll be a client. This is... We're at the stage now where... Are we in closing mode here?
I believe so. You never know until the paperwork's done, but I think we're all good. I mean, he's got some good stuff going on where he is, but I know I can make some pretty tangible improvements too, so should be all good.
Well, this is the kind of thing that happens when you get the... So you're going to leave here and then drive to Ottawa?
Yeah.
Like this office?
Yes.
How you doing, by the way?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. I thought of you guys yesterday, you and Fred, because I was playing at the same golf course, and the first hole that we started on was the hole where you've dumped your clubs.
And where I brought Fred, shame upon the golf course.
And I said to Fred the other day, I said, I can't play that hole now, ever, without looking over and thinking, fucking the Fred man dumped his clubs in the tributary.
I think we should put a little plaque at the point in which the clubs entered there. That would be a good part of our course's history, really.
And we have a great picture of it. My favorite part of the picture, as I pointed out, is you just booking it. Like I'm pulling the clubs out, and you're like, I'm out. I'm done.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here, folks. What were you going to say?
No, and I mentioned this last week. Actually, I was chasing my sunscreen, which is $10 a bottle, that spray stuff. So it wasn't going down the river.
No, I know, but it's funny. Like, the clubs have got to be worth more than...
Really? You think my club? Yeah. No, I don't think so. I think the sunscreen's worth more than my clubs at this point.
No, it's a great... Anyway, so obviously I was thinking to you guys. I was thinking, it's too bad because yesterday, even though it wasn't as warm when we played a week ago, it was just a little bit less windy, a little less... The golf course was a little less angry. Anyway, let's talk to this fellow, Tim Niblett. What's an IROC firm?
That would be the Investment Industry Regulators of Canada. So I just want to talk
today.
That
sounds like a fun group.
Oh, yeah, it's scintillating.
Yeah, that sounds like a group that's are they going? When's wing night?
Well, they
with IROC.
They're really close to the actuaries group there as far as excitement and everything. But so I just want to talk today a little bit about, you know, what you should look for in a dealer that you deal with or an advisor and what their dealer is. And so IROC is really the brokerage side of things. And one of the many advantages to advisors on that, and hey, there's great people everywhere. There's people who just use mutual funds that can do a great job, just use seg funds can do a great job. But on the IROC side, we have everything to choose from. We have mutual funds, we have seg funds, we have individual stocks, individual bonds, we can use ETFs. So I'd kind of compare it, you know, last night, unfortunately, we watched the Leafs lose to the Lightning. If your financial future was dictated solely by the lease, fortunes might not be too good. If it was solely by the Lightnings, not too bad. But if you could choose the best players from the Leafs and the Lightnings and the Habs and the entire league, you'd have a hell of a lot better team. And that's financially what I've got to choose from for my clients.
That term dealer, what do you mean exactly by dealer?
Yeah, it's kind of funny, especially given your Narcos conversation there. Dealer's just a business who you do things through. So like Investors Group would be a dealer.
Oh, okay.
Raymond James is a dealer.
Okay,
The intermediary between the advisor and the industry regulators.
So that's what IROC is. And what you're basically saying, it gives you a chance to choose the best products from whatever team you think would be best for your client.
Absolutely. I mean, you could beat my you-know-what on the golf course regardless of whatever clubs you were using. But if clubs in the world and, tuned specifically to you, you'd be even better. So it's really important what tools of the trade you've got.
Do I have any... do you have anything for me since I got my car broken into? Do you have, like, something you can give me?
Sure.
From Raymond James?
Yeah.
Is there a product that I can use? Anyway, what does it mean when you're talking about being independent? I mean, you're independent... I know you're independently wealthy, but are you independent? What does that mean, Timothy?
I'm independent of responsibility. Yeah, absolutely. Again, great people who work with just dedicated companies where they can only use their own products. But just think of it. Again, if you got the freedom of choice and you don't have to worry sometimes maybe about the parent, so to speak, organization... Raymond James, I was just at a conference this weekend. I'll talk more about that in the future. We're just so client-centric. It's just fantastic. It's why after 8 years, I still feel better than ever about being there.
Was Ray J there?
Tom James was there.
Was he?
Yes.
Where's Ray J? Is he...
There's a Raymond and there's a James, so the James part was there.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You don't call him Ray J?
You can call me RJ.
You can call me RJ.
That's right.
All right.
Resources.
Sure. So like any of us, right? I mean, the more resources you got, the better. So in fact, Raymond James specifically just bought a firm called 3MAX out of Montreal. Fantastic group of people. Met a lot of them this past weekend. They're actually a brokerage firm who's been in Canada 140 years. And they decided they needed to team up with somebody to have more resources and thankfully chose us, which is quite an honor because they're a great bunch of folks. So now collectively, we got even more research and more training and more resources for our clients, our wealth management department.
These people chose Ray J?
They did. They could have gone anywhere and they chose Ray J.
Ray J.
But they didn't have to call us Johnson.
No, listen, I kid because I love and respect. That's the only reason.
And you put down here cross-border. This pops up more and more. Cross-border from what respect? If you're going to reside part of your life in the United States or investing in American products?
Well, all of the above. We've got... I heard just this week, I believe there's 1 million Americans living in Canada under Cloak of Darkness or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if you're Canadian...
There's about to be a lot more.
There might be. If you're Canadian with investments in the States, and increasingly as the boomers buy their homes down there, they'd want to do that. If you're an American living up in Canada and you got investments both sides of the border, most firms don't have the resources to be able to have one advisor for all of your investments, and we do. So we've got our U.S. parent in St. Pete's in Florida there. They've set up a specific department just to enable us to do that. We can deal, actually, for those of you listening in the States, deal with people who don't even know how to spell Canada, which is pretty exciting. But certainly if you've got cross-border things, then we've got the facilitation for that.
You know, the Canadian dollar is sucking the hind tit right now. Dropped again.
Yeah. What is it? What is it trading at now?
74. Yeah. So your exchange.
74 and witch's item.
the exchange like $1.40 or something.
So if 2 weeks ago I had invested in an American product and the Canadian dollar drops, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
The last few years, we've had a lot of tailwind investing outside of Canada as the dollar has dropped. This year specifically, reversed a little bit, much as it's lower than we'd like it to be now. It's higher than it was January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So to oversimplify, investments in Canada have done a little bit better this year than investments outside.
See, there you go, Howard. Another bright side. Do you have American products? I'm sure you do.
Do I?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Tim Niblett.
Timmy!
He's not only a portfolio manager... But he's my portfolio manager.
No, I know.
This sweet mountain of a man.
It's an honor, too.
You're an honor.
Yes.
You know.
Are you going to get Howie's picture put on your card? Hey, I'm Tim Niblett. Who's that?
That's Howie.
You know, here's the thing, though, because Tim really is, he's something else. He's not only one of the smartest people we know, but would he qualify as one of the top 10 nicest people we know?
He's a lover boy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that.
Okay.
I don't know what he does. Mm-hmm. But he's
the headband I'm wearing, is that why you're thinking of Mike Reno there?
No, but is he not a nice person? Do you not find
he's
him?
He's a prince, and this I told you that.
I'm telling you that, too.
I'm telling you back.
Back to you,
the
then.
The day we golfed. I said he's just such a pleasant, wonderful man.
And you just wonder, is that an act? I don't think it is.
No. No, I can smell an act a mile away.
Oh, I know you can.
Oh, I can
sure
smell an act.
Can.
That's no act, Howard.
That's not an act. It's the real thing.
That's the real
Ray
thing.
J.
Is he still here?
He's a you know what he is? He's a gentle giant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tim is a portfolio manager. Raymond James. Ray J., a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund, or KINFPA. KINFPA. Happy, safe, and wonderful travels.
I'll hang for a bit.
Yeah,
pleasure's
you can do whatever
always.
You want, man.
That's right.
You hang
enjoy
right
and profit
there.
All.
What's that, son?
Enjoy and profit all.
Enjoy and profit all. Yes, Phil. Yes, get Mr. Nip something to drink and eat. See, his microphone sounded amazing to me.
There's some leftovers up in Howard's fridge. Go get them for Tim.
There is, actually.
Well, I'll get them for Tim.
You know what I did?
What?
After the opening on Friday, there was a big fruit plate of some kind.
Oh.
And I thought, well, this is ridiculous. I'll just take it upstairs.
Why wouldn't you?
Exactly. No, see, that microphone sounded great to me.
Waste is not. Okay, no, hold it. Now, that
see,
was a bottle
I think
of
this,
water.
No, I know.
If
but
that
it,
had had
it,
the
I,
top off.
I know.
We would have been really fucked.
But you see, I think this mic, Kyle. Mm-hmm. Kyle. What's that? Yeah.
Hang okay.
On. Yeah, this microphone, to me, to my ears, sounds better. Don't you think, Kyle? Okay. I can't hear him at all. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Because we're just minutes away from the great Jim Carr coming in here.
We got this email. I don't fully understand it. From Chris Hamilton. Lots of times, people have their home address programmed in or in their history. Together with the garage door opener, they can know exactly where you live and break in easily. What's he talking? Oh, he's talking about when your laptop was stolen, I guess. Have their home address programmed in or in the history. I don't know.
Well, what does that mean? Lots of times people have their home address programmed in or in the history of the GPS. But together with the garage door opener, of course they know exactly. All they had to do is hit the garage door opener, and that's where I live. Plus, my car was parked in the corresponding address of where I live. I don't know what the hell that meant either.
No, I don't. Yeah. But anyway, we'll work through it. Easy for me to say. It's not my predicament. Well, it is halfway, but not halfway, sort of, your car and all that. But we'll do what we have to make sure that you are safe.
Thank you, Fred. We need to take a break here because we got this guy we're going to talk to. He's written a book called The Fuck It List. And you could only have that kind of conversation on adult radio, on real radio, on authentic non-terrestrial bullshit radio, only on Sirius XM. Around the world at humbleandfredradio.com and on Canada Laughs. We'll be right back.
This is Bruce McCulloch. You're listening to Canada Laughs.
Happening. It's Humble and Fred from our storefront studios in beautiful downtown Etobicoke. But we're in Toronto, are we not?
Absolutely. This is the city of Toronto.
We're in the West End.
Etobicoke is no longer a borough.
Yeah, it's a political merger, isn't it?
This is not metropolitan Toronto anymore. This is the city of Toronto.
Well, wherever we are, it's a beautiful day for satellite radio.
And where's the bell?
I don't know.
Beautiful day for satellite radio. Ding, ding, ding.
I'm going to buy a bell because I think we broke the last one.
We broke the other one.
Yeah, the bell's gone. We're waiting for Kevin Pryslak, who has written a book called The Fuck It List. Where we are is the squat. There he is. Where we are is the Squatty Potty Studios in Toronto. And now it's exciting because we're going to find out how to pronounce this guy's name. Kevin, is that you?
Yes, that's me.
How you doing, pal?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Well, we're amazing. How do you pronounce your last name, Kevin?
Pryslak.
Pryslak. So simple.
I think we hit upon that yesterday.
Did we?
Yeah, I think among many variations, we said Pryslak.
One thing we don't say fuck it to is good colon health. Kevin, just hang on a second. Because the Squatty Potty has revolutionized so many people's eliminations that, you know, I'm sure even Kevin, author of The Fuck It List, would agree that you can't mess around when it comes to getting rid of your poo. Right, Kevin?
I can. The Squatty Potty is the greatest invention ever.
Do you
thank
have,
you.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. It was on Shark Tank as well, by the way.
Oh, no, we know, man. We're, like, totally in touch with Bobby, all the people in Utah. Squatty Potties are available all over Canada, Fred, at places like Canadian Tire, Bed Bath & Beyond.
That's right. Happy colon, happy life. Squatty Potty takes the kink out of your colon. That's all really you need to know. It allows a perfect, unobstructed elimination.
Elimination. You know, even though it's only been 35 seconds, I've forgotten completely how to pronounce Kevin's last name.
Pryslak.
Pryslak. Hi, Kevin. How are you, man?
Good. How do you think that you pronounced my last name, just out of curiosity?
How did we pronounce it?
Yeah.
Well, we tend to overthink. So when we saw like P-R-Y-S and we were just thinking, Pryslak.
Pryslak. Hey, Kevin. You know, not all the dumb people are in America. We're here, too. We've got some. Kevin's written a book called The Fuck It List. And here on Grown Up Radio, Sirius XM, we can actually call it that. I'm curious, though, Kevin. You know, we'll get into what it is. It's pretty funny and all that stuff. But, you know, how are you marketing a book where most people can't say the name of it?
Well, you know, we do variations. We could call it the F It List.
Sure.
We like SiriusXM because we can say the word fuck. You know, it's a good question. You know, it's actually the cover is what is very attractive to people. So if you put the cover in the bookstore and you go up to the front of the counter and you see the Fuck It List, I'm not even sure you're going to read the book. You're going to buy it for the cover. You're going to say, fuck it, I want the cover.
Well, let's get back to...
And put it on your coffee table, right?
You know, exactly. It's interesting. We were talking about it.
Grandma comes in, she sees, fuck it.
Fuck this shit. I don't know when it was, Phil, our producer's here, but we were talking about this Morgan Freeman movie, The Bucket List, and I went on a bit of a tear about, you know, what there should be is a fuck it list. And at the time, I thought it should be, you know, basically... all your sexual things. Was it what was the point of Phil?
Oh, yes.
Was I just saying things you need to... Was I saying fuck it or things I wanted to fuck it?
Well, basically things that you don't think can be done, so you might as well just let it go.
Well, it's basically Kevin's premise. So how did you come up with this? Is it something that you were ruminating on? You went, you know what? Screw accomplishments. And what was the genesis of this?
Genesis was I was going to parties and everybody was talking about their bucket list, and I was listening to what they had on their bucket list. Like, I want to go to all 7 continents, and I want to go and swim in the Ganges. Kind of like, are you fucking kidding me? I don't want to do any of that shit. So I created the fuck it list just based on what everybody I knew wanted to do, but I didn't. So I was like, this would be a good book. And so that's basically what I did is, I have zero interest in doing what a lot of my friends want to do, that their so-called bucket lists. I have no interest in climbing Mount Everest. You read in the book, I say, why? So somebody else could cut my meat for when my fingers fall off?
You know, I love your attitude.
No, exactly.
But it is true. People always have these flowery ambitions, and it's like, you know, I know where you're coming from. Like, really? I mean, are you telling the truth, or are you just bullshitting? Because it sounds good.
Well, as I said to you earlier, a lot of people want to do these things so that when they're done, they can tell other people that they did them, but they really only do them so they can tell other people that they've done them.
And those other people don't really give a shit.
And no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I would say to you, Kevin Pryslak, that a lot of people want to write a book, and but then you, even writing a book, you say, oh, fuck it, I'm never going to write a book, but you did. Smart guy.
Oh, fuck it, I got to make money some way, don't I?
Yeah, I guess. I guess. So give us an idea of some of the chapters. There's fuck it, I'm not going to a nudist colony. Everyone thinks that might be a cool thing, but you say, fuck that shit.
Yeah, I mean, do you really want people looking at your tiny junk while you're walking around the place? No, I don't.
No, and it's funny you say that, because I'm sure in a nudist camp people think, oh, you know, everybody's naked, nobody notices. I'm sure that's exactly what most people are doing in a nudist camp, especially guys, looking at other guys' joints to see how long they are.
Of course, I can assure you I'm not Shaq, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not like I want to walk around and everybody's staring and be like, oh, look at that guy. No.
No, but Freddie's right, you know, people who go to nudist colonies, it's more about, you know, freedom to be who you really are. But everyone's walking around going, that guy's got a tiny cock.
And don't tell me women are going, oh my God, look at the ass on her. Yeah.
Absolutely. How about fuck it, I'm not getting a coffee enema?
Yeah.
Is that a thing now for people?
I don't want to shove anything up my butt. People get coffee enemas and so that they could poop. I have zero interest. That one I heard at a reunion. Women were talking about a coffee enema. Like, that sounds ridiculously gross and disgusting. Why don't you just literally take some Dulcolax and call it a day?
The one that always gets me is skydiving.
No, I
like
know.
Like, you talk to people and they have this passion, like, oh, I'd love to do that, whatever it's, 3,000 feet, whatever it is, and jump out of a plane. I mean, that might be at the top of mine. It's the last fucking thing I would ever want to do.
I mean, we're not D.B. Cooper, are we?
No, good reference. I think we should call this segment Grumpy White Guys Complaining About Shit. No, but it's funny. I that skydiving thing is one of the ones that almost everyone says, one day I'd like to do that. I'm like, why would you jump out of a perfectly fine airplane? In case there's skydivers want to sponsor us, I know it's very safe, but it's not for us. I'm not jumping out of that.
Yeah, no, you have two shots of me ever jumping out of an airplane, none and never. When you hear people talk about it, and they're all bragging, yeah, we jumped out of a plane, what happens if your parachute doesn't open?
Exactly.
You won't be bragging about it anymore.
I guess that's where the thrill is. I guess the drop, obviously. But that moment when you pull the cord, is it going to open? That has to be. Maybe that's the attraction. I don't know, but that's an attraction I can do without, that moment.
If you want to pick up this book, it's available. Kevin's about to tell us where it's available. It's available all over. Did it just come out, by the way?
Yes, it just came out this past Tuesday.
Nice. Congratulations. And where is it available?
It's available everywhere. Barnes & Noble. It's available at Indigo. It's available at Amazon.ca and Amazon.com.
Nice.
All your bookstores across North America.
Are they flying off the shelf?
I believe so. Like I told you, it's the cover. I don't know that anybody reads the insides besides you two.
That's right. And believe me, we haven't read it either.
It almost seems a tad early because this looks like the type of gift where some, you know, office, whatever, you're searching for that gift, and it's like, oh, what do I get him? Oh, this is neat. Look at this. I'll buy this.
That's right.
This is great because even if they never look beyond the cover, it's going to be great. It's going to go big time at Christmas.
Yeah, no, that's why it came out now, so that it's available in all the bookstores for Christmas. It takes a while for us Americans to roll things out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys are fairly preoccupied right now with your election. And you may be surprised with, you know, I don't know what your limited ability or limited knowledge of Canada, but we've been following it as well. And you want to talk about the great fuck it. You know, you Americans might actually elect Donald Trump as the giant fuck you to the rest of the world.
It's actually a very good point. I mean, I do have to tell you that I think every American right now is saying, fuck it, I can't watch cable news.
No, I know.
Everything on cable news is Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. If Hillary Clinton bumps her head, you'll hear about it for an hour and a half. If Donald Trump, you know, talks about beating people up, you'll hear about that for 2 hours. So, you know, it's very, very interesting.
No, we made this point last week. It's like, listen, I'm all for the entertainment value, and it's great, and I'm going to miss it when it's gone on some level. But night after, they never talk policy. They never talk about what they're going to do for the country. They don't. There's no chance at that. Because what was it last night? Now, like, Joe Biden challenged him on some level, and Donald Trump responded, like...
Yeah.
Because Biden said that, you know, he would have stood up for his sister or something in high school if some guy had said he'd grab her by the crotch, and Trump heard that now and says he'll take him on. It's like fucking bizarre.
Nothing would make me happier than fucking Donald Trump and Joe Biden in an MMA, you know, cage match with one another. Their fucking hair is so weird. By the way, the fuck it list, all the things you can skip before you die, is available. You can go check out the cover. Make sure you check it out. It's Kevin Pryslak, P-R-Y-S-L-A-K. And are there any things, I was going to say, are there any things you don't want to fuck it? I mean, is there some things that you think people should do?
Yeah, sleep all day if you can.
Sleep all day.
If you can.
You know what? Yeah. He's living the American dream.
No,
he's literally created this thing that tells you don't do anything, and people are going to buy it. They'll probably turn it into a movie. Kevin will sit around with his dogs.
It would be a good TV show, don't you think?
Yeah.
And by the way, back to the Joe Biden and the Donald Trump thing.
Yeah.
What Donald Trump said was horrible. But I think if you get the two of them in a ring, Trump has to fuck him up.
Oh, yeah.
The size of Trump.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Trump's a big man, even with his tiny hands.
Yeah, no, I know. The U.S., you know, they have these celebrity boxing matches.
Sure.
Where celebrities get in a ring, and I would buy on pay-per-view. That would not be a fuck it list.
And if they could somehow get Scott Baio to referee. Have you seen the video of Scott Baio trying to explain policy
brutal.
And stuff? You know, honestly, it's embarrassing. I'm not American. You're not. We're embarrassed for you. Scott fucking Baio.
I think a lot of Americans are actually, your population might get a little bit larger if Donald Trump wins, because a lot of people are saying, fuck it, I'm going to Canada.
Yeah. The one here, too, that jumps out at me, and it's so true, is fuck it, I'm not going to get back into shape. Because most of us have never been in shape. But it's true, that's one of those things, you know, when the calendar flips January, I'm going to go to the gym. And what would the percentage be? 99.9% of people don't go beyond 2 or 3 weeks. So that whole exercise of the gym and predicting I'm going to get in shape and I really got to watch when I'm, is just, it's a waste of fucking time. So maybe it's good to go, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to be fat.
Well, I think what I think, mm-hmm. we get what I think.
What I think.
What do you think?
I think that what Kevin has done is he's given us permission.
In a way, this is a funny book, obviously. Kevin's a humorist, but in a way, it's an admission that, you know what, give yourself a break. You're not going to go, mm-hmm. you're not going to go to Everest. You're not going to get in shape. You're not going to get rich. You're not going to start a band. You're basically, is the takeaway, Kevin, that you should be happy with what you've got now, which is, in your case, just sleeping around your house all day and hanging out with your rescue dogs.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. And also the other takeaway is, if you haven't done it yet, you're not going to do it in the future. I mean, I'm old. Mm-hmm. So what am I going to do? I mean, am I going to go to the gym? You last 2 weeks, I last 2 days.
Yeah.
I'm done by the fourth. Right? They don't open until the second.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I can't breathe. Even when I go to get you go to the cardiologist and you got to get on that treadmill. You got to last 5 minutes. I'm off in one.
That's right. You're like, listen, I don't want the results. I'll give you the results. I'm in trouble. But, you know, it does make, a bigger point, which is if you're not happy with where you are in your life at this point, you know, you thinking that one day I'm going to go and do something great just adds to the anxiety of day-to-day life.
No, you're 100% right. I mean,
goddamn right,
to be honest with you, the only thing I've done great was have kids. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was married.
And you had to fuck it to do that.
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm. I did. But
got all horny
an
orgy. Had sex with their mother.
Yeah, that's another thing we were talking about earlier, the whole orgy thing. No thanks. I don't want some guy's bag rubbing against my leg. Fuck that.
Well, you just spread out. Spread
have
out.
Have you seen some of those orgies?
I know, but what I told you is I don't want to be in the main part of the... I want to be on the side stage of the orgy.
Fucking ears itching and it's some bag on your ear.
Why are
some,
you...
I don't know, Howard.
Why
people
are you,
roll around the room.
Oh, do they? Mm-hmm. And so you're going to be in the area where bags are rolling around the room. Just go
probably
to the play. Listen, if you're going to a fucking orgy, figure it out. Go to the part where it's a little less crowded.
Me in an orgy. Right. If somebody was planning an orgy, all my best friends, they'd all be whispering behind my back. Oh, fuck, we're going to do this, but fuck, make sure Fred's not there.
No, see, to me, it would be the opposite. Mm-hmm. If I was having a fucking orgy, you'd be on the,
you'd
the first name. First name on the list would be Fred Patterson, followed by Kevin Pricelack.
When he's not looking, shove something up his ass.
No, so that's hey, a beanbag.
Wait a second.
You saw me, I don't think I'd be on that list.
Hey, okay, and here's what we'll do. When Fred's not looking, we'll give him a coffee enema.
And then he could use a squatty potty.
Goddamn
right.
Right he could. Don't you dare fucking take a shot at one of our sponsors, fuck it list or not.
I am actually not lying to you as I use the squatty potty.
Of course you do.
Of course, it's great.
You got
literally
sense.
The greatest invention of all time.
Mm-hmm.
All the things you can skip before you die, and I congratulate you because, again, a lot of people say, oh, man, you know, I'd like to write a book, but you didn't say fuck it to that list, and you put together something I think everybody ain't going to love. Phil?
Yeah, I mean, thank God for my editor. That's all I can say.
This is available all the places that books are available, and Kevin, I got to imagine that this is going to be a huge boost to your ordering. And what do you do? Are you a journalist? Are you a writer? What do you do day to day?
I'm a blogger.
Oh, God.
You know what that means. I have no money.
All right.
Right. No, but when you had this idea, was it much of a sell? Like, you obviously put together whatever you call it.
Proposal?
A proposal and then took it to them. Was it a real tough sell, or did they think, hey, that's different?
Yeah, no. Viva Editions, the publisher that's publishing it, thinks outside the box, and when they saw this, they knew they had to publish it. You just have to find the right publisher. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to take this to, you know, Simon and Schuster. Or
that's right.
Harper Collins.
It's like some stuffy.
That's Wayne and Schuster up here.
Yeah, that's some stuffy editor. I say, have you seen the manuscript that just came through? It's some Kevin Pricelack's fucking list. Oh, it was fantastic. Fuck.
And they Google Kevin Pricelack, and you know they see my blog, and they're just like, "Oh yeah, that's cool. He's got a big following there."
Oh yeah, yeah. Everyone's following Kevin Pricelack, and his. It's funny when you Google your name, it comes up. Did you mean Kevin Pollack? So you've got that going for you.
Listen, I got the whole SpaceX thing. When you Google SpaceX, you know, does anybody really want to go into outer space? I know I don't.
I do.
No, oh, I don't.
I do.
No.
You do?
Abso-fucking-lutely, I do. I want to get off this planet and see what's out there.
No, I just
saw the shuttle that did explode, right?
That's fine.
No, I'd be it's the takeoff. The claustrophobic thing would be too much for me in that tight little seat in that
well,
little fucking room.
Okay, well,
I can't do it.
You have a better
your pants halfway up there.
No, exactly.
No, I was going to say you have a better chance of being invited to an orgy.
Oh, than
going into space.
Why, Don Knotts got to go?
What?
Don Knotts. Remember that? The reluctant astronaut. That would be me. Come on.
I don't know. Are you referencing a Don Knotts fucking movie?
They took a fucking idiot and put him in a spaceship and blew him into fucking outer space.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then you'd be perfect.
Well, I'm just playing off what you said.
Yes. But I think that...
It was called The Reluctant Astronaut.
Fuck.
Fuck.
All I have to say is thank God for Sirius that we could listen to you guys in the States. You guys are hysterical.
Well, fucking A we are, Kevin. And how dare you come on our show and not... No, listen, are you going to blog about being on our show, for God's sake?
Of course. Are you going to tweet about my book?
Oh, without a doubt. And as a matter of fact, tumblingfredradio.com, the cover of your book will be prominent on our website today.
Yeah.
And I promise you on all of my Twitter feeds, one of them, I will make your radio show. I will make your radio show prominent.
Well, we appreciate that, Kev.
That's on my fuck it list. I'm going to tweet more. Oh, fuck it. No, I'm not.
All I have to say is, fuck the Howard Stern show. This show's better.
No.
Hold on a second. Hang on. Say that again.
fuck the Howard Stern Show. This show is better.
That's right. You know, it's funny, Kevin, we appreciate it. I've been trying to find your blog. What is the name of your blog?
My blog is wix.kevinpricelack.
Oh, fuck.
The fuck it is. You don't have to. I'll email it to you guys.
All right, dude. Do it.
Why when it's so easy to find?
Yeah. Well, listen.
I'm broke. Fuck it.
Get the fuck it list. All the things you can skip before you die. Kevin Pryslak, that's spelled P-R-Y-S-L-A-K. He is now a big friend of the show. We recommend Kevin's work to all. Already you can save 14% at Indigo Online on this book. It was $21.50, now available for $18.42 online.
Is that Canadian?
I don't know.
That is Canadian.
Is it?
And Indigo, good. Yeah.
And is it Indigo Go?
Hey, Kevin, if you're ever rolling through the T-Dot, come in and see us.
I will. Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, if you're ever rolling through the T-Dot, come and fucking
that
hang.
That sounded cool, eh?
You're so cool.
That just rolled off my tongue.
Honestly, and you say you don't want to go to space.
No, I have no desire to go to space. I have more desire to play golf than to go to space.
Yeah, I golf occasionally. I fucking love golf. I love golf. I'm not sure what I love golf. What I love more, golf or jerking off? What do you love more, Kevin?
Jerking off.
Yeah, no, seriously. You can't say fuck it to that because that's good for prostate health.
Yeah.
All right.
It's also instead of going to the gym, I could just do that.
Well, seriously. And, you know, are you still married, by the way?
No, I'm divorced.
Yeah, me too.
I just literally got out of my parents' basement.
Nice. So. Well, you know, you're an inspiration to very, very many lazy bloggers out there. You can rise above the fray. And get yourself a book online and get on the Humble and Fred Show. Kevin, thanks so much, my friend.
Thanks, pal.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, dude, okay, no, send us your information and we'll put it up on our all the bullshit. Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Ever since I left the city, you got a reputation for yourself now. Like, there's a couple things, obviously, that I've done that are on some people's list. You know, I learned to fly a plane. That was something I wanted to do. I've done a few things I wanted to do that were like, you know, I think I could try that.
This may sound weird because I have traveled a lot lately in the past 10 years, but...
You're a world traveler.
Yeah, but I don't... It's more a passion of my wife than my... Like, if I never went back to Europe, I'd be cool with it. Like, seriously. So I would almost say that, yeah, Europe, fuck it. But I know my sweet little wife loves it, so... It's not like I don't I dislike it, so I'll do it.
Sure,
but it's one of those things. Like, I don't need to go to China. You know, I'd love to go to China.
I actually agree with that.
Okay,
you
but
agree
that,
with what?
Even all of Southeast,
why would you want to go to a country you don't want to go to in the first place?
Well no, but that's not the
because
point.
You went there.
No, I'm talking about travel in general. Mm-hmm. Like, often when we go away, I think, I'd rather just probably just park my ass at the trailer, right?
No, I understand.
But again, socially, it's not the thing to do.
Well, but, you know, mm-hmm. you've done a lot of things that a lot of people would like to do. Like, mm-hmm. they'd like to go to Greece. They'd like to go to Italy a couple times. You know, so this is a humorous book, but there's lots mm-hmm. of things you haven't said fuck it to. Like I said, you know, like, mm-hmm. I've taken guitar lessons. I've learned to fly. I took some cooking classes. I mean,
because you genuinely wanted to do them.
Yes. I'm not mm-hmm. doing, you know, I didn't, but I would like to go to China.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me relates to this because I'm thinking to myself, fuck it. There's a lot of places I'd like to go to before China.
Right.
But it's there somewhere in the back of my mind. I'd like to see what that looks like. Same with, you know, someone I know went to India in the last 6 months, and I was thinking, I don't know
anyone who's been to India that doesn't love it, though.
I know.
It's crazy, isn't it? And you see pictures of India where the people are, like, shoehorned into the fucking streets, and there's turds in the ditches and stuff. But people say, oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, you will love the ditch turds.
Mm-hmm. Some great excrement. It's lying quite well on the
You road. Know, when I went to India, I saw some wonderful ditch turds.
Like, I've heard people, you know, there's Delhi. Like, there's areas of Delhi. Like, all you can smell is shit. Like, I'd gag.
Same with going...
So how do you experience that
I don't know.
And come away going, oh, you
well, because
go
it's
there.
An experience.
Well, and again, one to me is fuck it. I don't need that experience.
What about same with going to an orgy? An orgy. Well, you that's know, part of it is the experience.
Same with, and you know what? Probably I would get so out of sorts, I'd probably shit myself. Same thing.
That's great.
Same thing. It'd that's be, right. It'd be on the carpet it'd instead like, of the ditch.
It'd be like going to Delhi.
We decided to go scat.
We went to an orgy recently, and Fred Patterson was there, and I don't know what happened, but he just got too excited and shit himself.
This is not a fetish orgy.
Fucking called the orgy. Just everyone just said, no, the orgy's done. They've actually canceled the orgy. Orgy.
That poor bastard with his prostate now gets, you know, aroused. It fucking triggers his bowel. What
yeah, it
say?
Was weird. Like, he was right into it, and he was about to have an orgasm, and then he just shit himself. He fucking wrecked that'll be the last time we invite the Pattersons to the orgy.
You're laughing, but that's the number one reason I don't want to go to an orgy.
Oh, it's the number one reason.
Mm-hmm. Number one.
Number one.
Yep.
Because you're worried about shitting yourself.
Absolutely.
What's that, church?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the only thing stopping Fred from going to an orgy or deli.
He's worried. Go to a deli.
No, Delhi, India.
Oh.
Deli.
I thought you meant Katz's.
Oh, did you? Did you think that? Can you imagine if he lived here, how much we'd be hearing? Well, I gotta go home. Oh, yeah. I'm just gonna be right back. Fuck. So, I just want to explore a few more things before we finish today. We've only got a few more minutes left on Sirius. What could we say? I don't know.
Well, we had the Megyn Kelly.
I got the Megyn Kelly clip. I've got this is Megyn Kelly talking to former speaker
and the Michael Moore thing.
Yeah, too. I'm not sure we're gonna have time. Maybe we should save that. Michael Moore, I think, is the more interesting to me because Michael Moore is a fairly left leaning liberal Democrat who has a fairly compelling argument in his new one man show called Trumpland. Which he put together really quickly. It's not if you're a fan of Michael's work, and I like some of his documentaries, he put this together very quickly, and it's sort of a departure. It's just him sitting in front of an audience, sort of talking and doing a one-person sort of reading in a way. And he comes up with a fairly interesting argument about who Trump supporters are.
Which, when you think about it, is no surprise. What I liked off the top is when he said, these people aren't racist. They're not bigots. Which is so true, because that's the one thing that's bothered me through all of this. Anybody that disagrees with Trump or gets upset with somebody that might support him on some level, well, you're immediately a bigot. You're a fucking racist. Well, like our buddy Josh Holiday put this thing about Trump up. Well, I guess we can thank Donald Trump for helping us identify which of our Facebook friends are hateful bigots, racists, and fools. Well, that's just nonsense.
Yeah.
Because there are desperate people out there that, outside of those issues, are looking for something.
And where did you send it to me, Phil?
Yeah, I swear I did.
The Michael Moore thing.
Oh.
It doesn't matter. What's interesting about it
is... It's about 4 minutes long.
Yeah, go check it out. Google it.
Yeah.
I thought you sent it to me, too, Phil, and I can't find it. It doesn't matter. Maybe we'll discuss it more tomorrow when we have more time, but it's just that caught my attention, I think yours as well, that he basically... He goes into some detail about who the people supporting Trump are, why they're supporting Trump, and why you should stop being so left people, why you should stop being so... hard on those people because they're not in the Ku Klux Klan only, and they don't hate women. They're just people that are tired of the way the system has been run for a long time.
And he lists like a lot of these, again, desperate people had jobs and they're gone and they're not getting any social assistance anymore, and they're just sort of drowning in American middle class society or what used to be middle class society.
Trump's got a great Moore has a great phrase in that 4 minute piece. He's saying, Trump is a Molotov cocktail for those people. It's basically a way for them to say on November 8th, you know what? Fuck you guys. How did he put it? He said, whether you're a billionaire or the poorest person in America, where you're completely equal is on voting day, where whatever status you have in the world, on that day you only count for one vote, just like the millionaire whatever.
Everybody's equal.
So, and what's interesting and why I preface it by saying he's a left-leaning liberal Democrat, that it's interesting. He makes the argument for voting for Trump.
But he also bashes Obamacare.
Yeah.
Within that. But, you know, it is so unfair. And that's one of the things that's bothered me about this. Anybody that even suggests that Donald Trump might have a point on any level
is immediately,
you're eaten up and chewed out like you're a racist bigot.
And, yeah.
Bullshit.
And tomorrow, more about that. Tomorrow, we'll talk about the circumstances where you can be part of an orgy with Humble and Fred. Don't forget to bring a plastic sheet.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, FreshBooks, and our newest sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the Squatty Potty 5-Hour Energy Storefront Studios. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.